The Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, recorded in Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who calms storms, your brothers and sisters loved by him. Have you ever witnessed the grand spectacle and display that is trying to get a child to go to sleep who is afraid of the dark? It can happen something like this. You have tucked your beloved little cherub into their snuggly little bed, and everything is completely safe. They are sleeping in a veritable palace of safety. The roof is secure, the foundations are solid, the door is double locked, the air conditioning is working, the fire alarms have fresh batteries. Within arm's reach are one or maybe more fully capable adults with cell phones who could call the fire department, police, or SWAT team at a moment's notice. There is purified water in the cup next to the bed in case they need something to drink in the night, and they have been well fed. They are completely and utterly and totally safe. And you say goodnight to your beloved little cherub, and yet, within 10 to 30 seconds of walking down the hall, you hear something. "Ah! No! Ah!" And you come in and you're convinced that their head is on fire. And you say, "What is wrong?" And they say, "Ah! It's dark in here." And you think about that for a second and you think, do they have no short-term memory? Of course it's dark in here. 15 seconds ago I turned off the light. And so you say, "Yes, of course it's dark in here. Why is that bad?" And then you start to get this conversation going. This is where it starts to get really interesting and completely fruitless. Why is the dark bad? "It's scary!" Why is it scary? "Well, things live in the dark." "What kind of things?" "All kinds of things. Zombies and creepers and ghosts and killer whales. It's just a terrible thing." And you try to say, "No, the dark is just fine. You are safe." "No, I'm not." "Why?" "Because it's dark." And you see how this goes? This goes for a while. And if you ever try to do this, you realize at this point in time, logic is not going to work. You could be there for hours debating all the logical points of why the dark in its essence is not necessarily a bad thing. But the child at this state in time is probably so revved up that he or she does not care about all the logistics of your alarm system and fire safety and everything else, or the scientific facts that have never found a zombie. At this point in time, really the only solution, and you can't make it happen, parents, and it can be very frustrating, but the only solution really is for the child to listen to your voice, hear your words, believe them, trust them, and go to sleep. Because probably all the logical reasons why the dark isn't scary won't go through, but if they just listen to your voice, quiet their heart and say, I believe I'm okay because mom or dad or grandma or grandpa said so, then maybe they can get to sleep. Have you ever gone through that situation on either end, the scared end of it as a child or the one trying to get to the child, go to sleep? Perhaps you can understand what could be going through the minds of two people today in the Word of God. One is named Peter. The other person's name is Jesus. And Peter gets to a point where he's pretty scared of the dark. Now, Peter's not the only one who's scared. There's 11 other people with him, and they are in a boat that is probably no longer than this center section of pews, than how long one of these pews would be. That's about how long that boat would be. Why? Why can we say that? Because around the year 2000, when the water level was very low on the Sea of Galilee, some people were walking on the beach, saw a little piece of wood sticking up from the sand. Archaeologists came, they dug it out, and it was a fishing boat that was about 2,000 years old from the time of Jesus. And if you go to the Sea of Galilee today, they have a museum and you can see the whole boat. I did. I walked around it. It's about as long as that center section of pews and no more than two pews wide. And there were 12 dudes plus Jesus on that boat eventually. And they were in the middle of this lake. They couldn't see anything. They didn't have GPS. The Coast Guard was not able to be called by cell phone. And the wind and the waves were coming down upon them. And the waves were coming over the boat. And they were terrified. And they were going nowhere. And to make it worse, they felt like they were in the middle of a haunted Halloween story. Because then they see some figure walking to them on the water. It's a ghost! They cried! Probably sounding much like a child, scared of the dark in the night. There's something under my bed in my closet. I know it. Well, there was something there, someone there. But as he got closer, they recognized him. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. You know how this whole story goes, and I read it to you a moment ago, but I don't know if any of you are going to be doing any rowing in the middle of the night tonight. I'd really suggest that you don't. It's not very safe. And maybe you've never been to the Sea of Galilee, and that's fine, but I think you know how these disciples maybe would feel, whatever age you are. Maybe you aren't scared of ghosts or dinosaurs in your closet at night. But maybe you have a whole bunch of things stuffed and stashed down into the closet of your past that you would never want to surface again. Sins and guilt from years ago or yesterday that make you wake up in the night and say, really, did I do that? Oh, Lord, help me. And maybe it's not the closet that scares you. Maybe it's the calendar that scares you. The calendar that you see on your phone or day planner or hanging in your kitchen that gets filled up with so many things. And you wonder, how am I going to do all this? Where did the summer go? Is it almost fall? I don't have time, and people just want more of me. Or maybe it's the months to come because you don't know what's coming. You never know what's coming. You make plans, but then this or that happens in your life that reminds you how weak you are. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, even at times. And you doubt and you wonder and you worry about what's going to happen next. And not only what's going to happen next, but 15 other contingencies of what might happen next. Which probably never will, but that doesn't make a difference when it's the middle of the night and your mind is spiraling with worry and fear. Oh, man. And then you see the violence and the hatred that's all over the place in the world around us. And you say, what in the world is this world coming to? It's a dark place. It's a dark place. I don't know if I want to live in this place, much less my children or my grandchildren. Oh, Lord, are you there? And you doubt, and you wonder, and you worry, and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. Well, Jesus keeps walking towards the boat, and Peter sees them, and for whatever you want to say about Peter, you can never say he was lacking in ideas of things to do at any moment in time. Peter suggested building tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter thought it would be a good idea to take a sword and start whacking off ears in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter doesn't always think things through, but Peter has ideas right on the spot, and this is Peter's original idea at the moment. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Man, I got to give Peter some credit here. I wouldn't have thought that. Lord, let me be the first person probably ever in the history of the world to walk on water. Jesus is okay. Well, sure, Peter, come. And Peter does. And he got down out of the boat and he was walking towards the water. But then he saw the, verse 30, he saw the wind. Now, that doesn't mean he literally saw the wind. Wind is invisible, but he saw the effects of the wind on the water. He saw the waves coming down. His eyes were taken off of Jesus and onto all of those problems. And then his logic kicked in and he said, wait a second. No one's ever walked on water before. That was a dumb idea. Wow. There's no logistic possible way this problem can ever work out for my good. I'm just going to sink and I'm going to die. And he started to sink. And maybe you know what that's like too. Oh, last week, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible was read to all of us. In all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Neither life nor death, angels nor demons, can separate us from the love of God. That sounds so good when we're here. It sounds so unbelievable sometimes when we're out there. And when your eyes can't see past a problem that won't go away, maybe your heart is filled with doubt. And you taste the salt water of doubt like Peter was sucking in the salt water of the Sea of Galilee. And you think, Lord, what are you doing? Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. But precious Lord, I don't know where you're leading me right now. I don't know where this problem is going and where I'm going with it. And Lord, I need a solution. After all, I'm American. Most of our solutions are done in 30 minutes with commercial breaks. I need a solution and I need it now and I don't see it. Lord, help me. As much criticism as we might give Peter here for doubting and sinking, I think we need to give him some credit because he does exactly what he should do after he starts to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus, but then I give him credit for this, and I pray that I might do this too when I'm sinking in my doubts and fears. Verse 30, he cried out, Lord, save me! Wow, awesome. He knew he had no other way. And so his heart and eyes focused back on Jesus, even if at this point in time he wasn't even sure where Jesus was in this whole storm. He was probably pretty disoriented, but he just cried out. He prayed right on the sea, Lord, save me. He didn't cry out some pithy little chant. Lord, you help those who help yourselves, so I'm going to try harder. Lord, help me to do more good than bad. Lord, send me something. Lord, give me a sign. No, just Lord, save me. I can't do this. And then he was safe again. Why? Because immediately, verse 31, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, you said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. When was Peter really safe? Well, technically he was safe through this whole thing. Jesus had already promised Peter and the disciples that they would be going with him eventually to Jerusalem. So if Peter would have remembered that promise, he could have remembered, well, he probably won't let us die and sleep with the fishes here in the Sea of Galilee. Peter was safe when he was walking on the water because Jesus was right there. Peter was in danger when he took his eyes off of Jesus, but then Peter was safe again when he cried out, and finally, Peter was really safe again when, we might be tempted to say this, he was really safe when and because the storm stopped. Peter was safe when Jesus made that storm quiet down, but no, that's not really what the text says. Peter was safe before the storm stopped. Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" At that moment in time, Jesus has Peter by the hand, and he is completely safe. But did you notice this detail in verse 32? "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down." In other words, the storm kept going. But Peter was completely safe because Jesus held him by the hand. When are you going to be able to be calm in life? When can you have courage? When are you going to be safe? Well, our minds rush to answer that in a lot of ways. I will be when this just happens, and when the just thing is goes into all kinds of stuff. When we're young, it might be, "I will be safe. Just when Mom and Dad turn on the lights again, I will be safe. Everything will be fine when I finally graduate and I get my first job and I can start paying these loans back. No, I will be fine when we can just get the kids into school. I will be fine when we can just get the kids out of the house. I will be fine when this report comes back good from the doctor. We're just waiting on that phone call. I will be fine when we just have a little bit more money, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. I will be fine when this relationship problem works out, and this thing at work goes better, and well, when I can retire from work, I will be Here's a secret. That will never end. God will strengthen you. God will give you rest, but He doesn't promise that the storms will always just go away. But you're safe. Why? Is the same God who reached out to Peter helpless, saying, "Lord, save me," is the God who reached out to you, reaches out to you, and grabs you by the hand. And His hand has some evidence of going through storms. If you'd see the hands of Jesus, you'd see nail marks. Because He went through the storms of hell to die for all of the sins that you'd shove away in your closet, all the inadequacies and fears that you carry around with you today. He died for it all on the cross so that the wrath and storms and lightning of God are not heading your way. You're one with God, and He loves you forever. And those hands, oh, they went up in blessing upon people like Peter after he rose from the dead. And those hands are up in blessing upon you. And the heart that's behind those hands is not worried, even if you are. He's the one who created the world. He's the one who wrote all of your days before one of them came to be. He's the one who knows what's on the calendar this week and all the days to come, and promises that all of that calendar will work out for your eternal good. He's the one who holds you by the hand and picks you up when you're sinking. And thank God He's the one whose message to you and me is not, "Are you having problems? Swim harder." No, He's the one who reaches out to us when we can't swim anymore and says, "I have you. I have you. Don't be afraid. Even if the storm keeps going, listen to me. Don't be afraid. I love you. Listen to my promises. I'm with you. Listen to my promises. There's nothing left for you to do to be right with me. It's all done. Listen to my promises. I've prepared a place for you forever in heaven. Listen to my promises, and then you can do this. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." That's what He said to Peter. Those words, "take courage," literally meant "be of good cheer." What? How can you be of good cheer in a storm? Well, you can if Jesus is there. And if Jesus will reach out and hold you and keep you, and with His promises bring you through it. So take cheer. Oh, but Pastor, the storms are big. I know. Shh, take cheer. Because Jesus is here. And Jesus isn't scared of all of the problems that you are. And Jesus isn't scared to love you. And Jesus isn't worried about how he's going to bring you through it all until you are with him forever in a place where the wind will howl no more. The storms will be stilled and you will only see him forever. Cry out to him. Come to him. He comes to you. Because of that, you don't need to be afraid of the dark. Sleep well. Amen. May the peace and love of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen.